Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic words seasoned just right to flavor your taste buds.
The words are the new Viagra that keeps you up, channelizing your soul into submission. Sensual and sexy as her poetry acts and answers questions you are scared to approach. Who is she? She is LSO, an erotic poet.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to each and every one of you. Welcome to the LSO Treat Show. Happy April 17th to each and every one of you. May every day be filled with love, peace, and joy. I am LSO, the founder and owner of Treats and Things LLC and LSO exclamation point. Brooklyn's very own LSO is not just an author of 3 published erotic books and 1 inspirational empowerment book. There's so much more to LSO and the brand. Add inspirational and empowerment speaking, writing, advising, spoken word artists, and acting. Hashtag love yourself organically. LSO was told to do big things, and hashtag I am holding on to that statement. I am comprised of many talents with the masters of all and without any regrets. I so enjoy what I do. Let's not forget the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. Yes! That's who I am. LSO got a talk show, y'all! LSO's creative diversity captures you and introduces you to outside-the-box experiences, encouraging you the freedom of reflection, accepting self in totality and in abundance, creating the space for your imagination's truth, and seeing beyond the space to be your true self. Her creative diversity captures you, and her no judgment encourages your total liberty of being yourself. Her work is best created with the intent of helping you to relate and or reminisce. In your mind, the work can be a combination of fantasy and truth. Either way you care to enjoy it, it's all up to you. LSO ignites your soul to surrender to enjoy the known and the unknown. All your senses captivated and you're loving it. In her work, she is in total control. In her space, her imagination encourages your truth, the escape to pleasures beyond your imagination. LSO vows to keep her creative juices flowing so that you can experience the displays of the words written and or spoken. So come along for the ride, pun intended. LSO never disappoints and promises limitless possibilities. Are you ready for tonight's show? If not, it's time to get ready. This evening's topic is sarcoidosis, God kept me. Note, these are our personal and or research opinions, so get ready to call in and confess your research. Remember, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show is a safe space and no judgment zone where your confessions and research are welcomed. Transparency at its best. So call in with your questions. And, you know, sometimes a spanking may be necessary, but you know what? Don't worry about it. LSO have paddles and whips in our collection, so we got you covered. Tonight, we have a very special guest sharing her journey for an exclusive, did you hear what I say, y'all? An exclusive experience with sarcoidosis. This is her testimony heard right here on the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. While no one knows the exact cause of sarcoidosis, unfortunately, there's no cure. But what we do know is that it is associated with increased immune system activity. I introduce to you Tamara Rivers. Not only is she a survivor, a warrior, she's my cousin, though. That part. Welcome, Mrs. Stay Ready is in the building.
Hello, hello, hello.
Stay Ready. What?
Hello,
what?
Hello.
What? It's an honor to be here. Good,
yes.
Baby. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine, cousin. I'm fine. It's an honor to have me on your show tonight. Everybody shut themselves in. They're in for a ride. I have a testimony to blow your mind. And all it takes is an X-ray and a biopsy, honey. And you can find out about all the psychedosis that I've been fighting for with since the age of 14. And I am now 54 years old, still standing by the grace of God. It has been a long journey, but he still kept me. He still got me.
Yes, yes.
He's not ready for me.
Yes.
I've been fighting. He's not ready to open that door for me, and I'm not ready to walk in yet because I am a strong fighter, true believer in God.
Yes.
There's a God. And from the time that I was diagnosed,
No, I just said, yes, it is.
Yes. From the time that I have gotten diagnosed with it, it was in the 80s. I woke up one day, couldn't breathe. Now, I knew I was always active, running and a lot of activities I was doing. One particular time I left home and went in the streets, woke up one morning, and I said, Lord, I can't breathe. What's going on here? So I played it off, okay, maybe a cold is coming. Kept going on with the going on. Started losing weight. I said, I love to eat. Why am I getting skinny? Lord, what's going on? Let that go. Still running on with the get on. Then the skin started fading away. Started getting dark. I said, it's time to call my parents now. These streets is either beating me. I don't know what it is. I have to call my parents now. So I called home and I said, Mommy answered, no, I don't feel good. She said, what do you mean? I'm telling her all the symptoms I'm going through. How long have you been feeling like this? Oh, 2 weeks. Well, talk to your dad. he get on the phone. We'll say, what's the matter? Daddy, I don't feel good. You must feel good. You're out there in the street. I said, no, Daddy. That's not the good feeling I'm talking. I'm talking about a sick feeling. He said, where you at? I said, downtown. He said, well, come on. I said, I'm too weak. Would you come get me? No, I'm tired of coming to get you because when I come get you, you go back. So you're not that sick. So, I said, okay, I see where this is going. I have to get to them because I'm really not feeling good. I'm, holding on too long with this. Something is wrong with me. Can't breathe. When I take steps, that was. So I finally made it home. When I got to the house, they seen me. So Mommy said, oh, Mother, she don't look good, I'm coughing all over the place. It took me out. Took me to Elmhurst Hospital. This is in the 80s. Oh, wow. Please now. God is so good. Oh, Lord. So they get me into the hospital. And I say to myself, Lord, I don't know what this is, but can we find this out as quick as possible? Because it's tearing me up. I can't breathe. Oh, boy. Chest running all week. They couldn't come up with nothing. Finally, they did a biopsy. Chest x-ray showed nothing. The biopsy showed it all. They put the thing down in my nose and snatched it from the lungs and sent it to the lab, and it came back a name called sarcoidosis. I looked to the doctors. Mommy and Daddy never left me. They stayed there. And I said, can y'all tell me, what is that? Never heard of that. Sarcoidosis. What caused it? How did I catch it? They asked me, where have I been? The last job I know I had in the 80s was a factory warehouse around a whole bunch of metal, mold that I can remember, but it's still not dawning on me yet. That couldn't have did it to me. So they said to me, have you ever been out, Ms. Rivers, out of the country? As I remember, South Carolina. That's all I can tell them. So I said, what goes on from here now? They said, you're the first person within all these years at a young age that has fibrosis. Do you know trying to find a cure for fibrosis? But we can't. Don't you know I was used as guinea pigs so many times to try to find a medication to cure it? The only thing that came out of that was prednisone to calm the breathing, to clear up the skin, and also to keep the bones from hurting. By me being so young and had it for a long period of time, and I got into the clinic, and I got into the group, and I'm seeing everybody, but not my age, with fibrosis. So it's me to have to sit back, take notes, and pay attention to what's going on around me with the disease. People done got lung transplants. A lot of people done passed on from it. A lot of people still suffering, and a lot of people still don't know they got it. All they doing is walking around saying it's a common cold. It's a common cold. So with me going into the group meetings and feeling good about it, I'm getting older, I'm catching on and I'm realizing I can stand up and I can testify to this. Because I didn't experience this at a very young age. So I got into the group, and the group got into me, and we were just helping one another out. And I got up one day, and I said, you know what? This is my type of topic here. I am going to share this to a lot of people, because they're walking around, and all it takes is an x-ray and a biopsy, because they think they got a cold, they're sweating, they're losing weight, their skin is deteriorating, their lungs are shrinking, and they just thinking they don't know what's wrong, because I didn't know what was wrong at first. And I said, I can share this to the world. I can share this to the world and let people know. Don't run. If you have something that you never felt or came across and is weird to you, go check it out, baby. Check it out. Right. Don't stop until you get some answers. Because I was afraid. I was a Colgate runner. Once I felt that, I said, no. I can't take my trophies. I'm not going for that. Why am I going to these changes like this? So at one time, I said, maybe because I'm running the streets, you know. And, of course, I'm getting, and that's what it was. I caught it from running the streets.
Right.
And I said, I can get my group meeting going. But every time I went to that group meeting, I always walked in there and somebody had died from it. Somebody always had died from sarcoidosis. And my doctor would have been maybe 100 and something right now. She was an awesome, awesome sarcoidosis doctor. He started there and he died at his desk there, trying to find a cure for sarcoidosis. When I got that call 3 o'clock that morning in the text saying that Dr. Pearson passed away, trying to find a cure for all of us that had this disease, and he died at his desk with the book open, I said, there goes the group meeting. Everybody just stopped going. Everybody stopped sending out the mailing list. I had no, the person that I got back in touch with found out through Facebook, she passed as well. So I'm like, what do I do here now? But be my doctor, go to my appointments, and doctor myself, because all I knew was prednisone. That's all I knew to keep me stable. The highest doses I ever was on prednisone was 180 milligrams of steroids. Mm-hmm. It just took a lot from me from being sick. You know, I just went into a dark place. But I said, you know what? Coming out of this dark place, I got to be in the light, and I got
right.
to shine bright like a diamond. Because I'm not going to let this psychedosis take me from 14 to 54 now. Take me. I'm going to keep on fighting on. We all can get together out there and pull this together and find a cure. Because psychedosis is nothing to be played with. People that don't
right.
know, I keep telling y'all, if you don't know, you better get to know it. It's
right.
a hard task. My breathing is crazy. It's crazy. I used to cry many nights. Call my sister. Can't breathe. In the hospital. Still in the hospital. But the people, and still couldn't breathe. And I just call on the Lord. Call on him. Touch these lungs. I need you more than ever right now. What's going on? I call Donna. She jump up quick. Quick. Get to the hospital. What's going on? Can't breathe. Can't breathe, Donna. Something is not, they're not doing something right. I said, you know, I don't give it to the Lord. But I'm not going to give up. Because the second dose is...
Right.
It's a mind over matter thing. If you let it get you, you go down. If you got a fighter, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm going to tell you this today. Get with the Lord, get with your doctors, and you get them books. Because from my age to right now, and I'm still standing by the grace of God, over God.
Right.
And I want to live. I'm not ready to go home yet. And he's not wanting me yet. He's not wanting me yet.
And we're not ready for you to go yet either.
No.
We want
no,
you
no.
for as long as possible. So, I mean, because there's no cure, because the disease really affects the immune system and the lungs, wouldn't you think that a lung transplant can kind of reverse or help with the disease?
Okay.
Or even
okay.
if you was to get a lung transplant, how would that work?
Okay. Glad you asked that because I went through that situation in the group therapy. I asked Dr. Kirstein one day. I said, Liz told me, if you're interested, Ms. Rivers, in getting a lung transplant, talk to the mother and daughter. We had a mother and daughter in our group with psychedosis. The mother got the transplant. 3 months later, she died. So you know, with that saying, and that's how bad I was off, I thought about getting it. That's
right.
For a little. So the daughter said, Ms. Rivers, after the meeting, I want us to take numbers so we can talk. And we talked. And she said, don't let nobody talk you into getting a lung transplant. For the sake of, you know your body, you know what you're capable of handling, and if your lungs is too bad off, let God have his last say. Asked my mother not to do it because she was too bad off. So opening and going in her and doing this and putting that and planning this, it made it worse. And it took her out. So, you know, myself thinking, oh, no. Mm-mm. I guess I'll leave it to God. I'm still here.
Right. But it not only excuse me, it not only affects the lungs. Okay, there's somebody near you with the phone that's tuned in. They have to move away from you because it's giving feedback. Not only does it affect. It's okay.
Hello?
Not only does it affect your lungs, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Renee, excuse me.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Not only does it affect your lungs, does it affect other body parts as well?
Yes. Yes. It started with the lungs. That's when they found out what it was. Then attacked my skin. I started getting dark. I started getting seizures all over me. I went to, what you call that, the skin doctor. And I had to break it down to know what was going on. So they didn't know what to do as well. And they came up with a steroid cream, hydrocortisone. So 1 milligram. I said, oh, no, this is outgoing. It's too much, too far going for me now. I need something stronger to get into the system to clear up these patches. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I have to walk out and all the stuff is being shown in my face, my legs. There's nothing they can do but just give me cream. Okay, another one. Started feeling funny in the stomach. What was going on here now, my stomach? It's one thing, it's another. Can you find out? She diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, a sarcoidosis. So I'm crying. I said, what is this? Every week getting something new with me? And it's everything that goes down with me is affiliated with sarcoidosis. So right away, my self-thinking is, why, how did I get cirrhosis in the liver? I'm not alcohol or anything, no. You're on a lot of medication for sarcoidosis. So sarcoidosis is attacking every organ in your body. About 10 years ago, I went to the heart doctor, and they seen it in there. And I said, wow, the lungs, the heart, the stomach. My doctor told me to go see your brain. That's the biggest problem. So I noticed the pressure in the back of my head. I started having those weeks, 6-7 hours straight. I'm like, oh, God, the brain. That's what all I'm playing back in my head is what he told me, the brain. Started feeling different things inside me. I did. I shut down for a long time. I went to the dark room again. Didn't want to be bothered. You know, depressed. And the nose just stopped bleeding. Just wouldn't stop. When I say bleeding. So I had to be rushed to the hospital. And everybody's looking at me like, you lost all the blood in the world and you're still sitting up. I said, I'm not going to sleep. I have to watch what y'all doing to me. Because remember, one, I'm on 24-hour oxygen. I'm on 24 hours of oxygen. So there's no way y'all can get around this with this nosebleed. You can't stick the balloon in me because the oxygen has to stay in me. So only thing y'all could possibly do is burn it to stop it. When I told you the last nosebleed I had was like 7-8 hours, I was in the hospital. They couldn't believe that I was still up from my house. Blood was everywhere. So I asked the doctor, where do I go from here now? You have to stop the bleeding a little bit. Where do I go from here? We have to run tests on your head. All right, so let's run this test on my head because I'm not going to sleep. That's not my call. I'm not sleepy. I want to know what's going on. because I'm going through different. Every week is something new. And once y'all told me the brain, without the brain, it's nothing. So I'm looking for this. Like, is this coming to an end or? So when I got the CT scan back, they said, oh, nothing wrong. He said, I didn't see nothing. That's it. So I just had no belief or nothing. Like, no, we're not saying you don't have it in your brain. It was no swelling. It was pressure. And it released itself. There's a problem that it doesn't release itself. Okay. I got that. Came home to take my shower because I was blood everywhere. And the water ran, the nose ran. I said, Lord, what's going on here? The devil's alive. Huh? They just burned it. Why is it back? Why is it back again? I was in there all of my hours in the shower washing out, and the big thing just dropped out. Boom. A big clog. That was the last of the things coming out of my nose to stop it. And I called my doctor, and I said, yeah, when I got home, yes, it was a big clog that dropped out, and it just stopped. And I haven't had a bad nosebleed ever since, but I get a little bleed every now and then. And it only comes with an aggravation. So with psychedosis, y'all cannot get yourself worked up too much. Because not only that your breathing is messed up, it doesn't rise to the head now. You can have a stroke, anything. You know, so I'm still learning it. I'm still learning it because there's no cure for it. I adopt it myself sometimes. Right. That's how long I've been on this thing. Yes, I'm in moves.
Well, what I've learned, what I've learned thus far is that stress, eliminate stress, which is very, very hard. But you know what? When it's a matter of your life, you will kind of put it into play so that you can live as long as possible, even though, you know, our time has been predestined for us before we were even here on this earth. But still, in my mind, whatever I can do to eliminate that, then I'm going to work on that. So that gives more definition to your stay ready model as what we call you, because you need to be stress-free as possible. You need to be smoke-free as possible.
Yes.
And you need to be in fresh air. I believe fresh air will kind of help as well, because it'll open up that lung capacity. And, you know, you take in some natural fresh air and that'll, you know, kind of expand it and give you some breathing wiggle room.
Yes. And as we talk on that topic, as you just said, fresh air, stress-free, and what was that third one?
I said fresh air, stress-free, and smoke-free.
And smoke-free. Those are the three topics that is in my head. As we talk on that, I just got called today from my house in Rome, New York, away from all the stresses from New York. Two, my wife, she's a heavy smoker. Everybody knows that. I don't have that in my home because I'm oxygenated through the whole house. And fresh air. Fresh air is beautiful. Any air in New York. Because where I'm at today is beautiful. I can sit in the middle of the street with a smile and just breathe the air in all day. No stress. No bickering. So I'm a kid. They don't even call me all day. But The Lord got me. Okay? They just called me today. But my house, honey, I am not playing no more. Life is too short. Since I've been on my vacation, I lost two friends on mommy's birthday. And I ain't been down here for a week yet. Okay, that's more stress than enough. You know, and I'm, you know, I'm who I am because you know me all my life. You know I've been sick all my life. Sick and happy at the same time, God got me. He got me.
Yep, that's my favorite line. I say that to my niece all the time.
Yes.
I used to write that on my niece's board, God got you. Because he can be in places that nobody else can be. And he can be in the places simultaneously. So he can be sitting here with me as well as over there working on you as well as there working on somebody else.
At
the same time.
That's right. That's right.
And I don't know no other person who can do just that.
I'm going to dance to that because enough is enough. Enough is enough. We have enough on our plate now. Our my mom, my dad. Okay, that's more than, I don't need nobody to add on. My parents is my wife.
Right.
And, you know, I'll go all the way to her. And my thing is, I'm making my move now. I'm making my move, and I'm going to move on. Because you know what? People don't want to see you do good. People want to talk about you when you're dead and when you're gone. And when you're
lying. Well, it don't matter. People talk because that's what people do, but people are not walking in your shoes. So technically, all of that is irrelevant because that has nothing to do with your health. That has nothing to do with your progress. That has nothing to do with the disease. So all of that is outside of the spectrum of everything. So no one is listening to that. If you're going to talk, I need you to talk with me about what do you think of X, Y, and Z? Is it hereditary? Because, you know, I was doing some research on it as well. It's not, you can't say it's hereditary.
It's not.
And you can't say that you get it from your father genes, and you can't say you get it from your mother genes. It's just something that happens, and because there's no real research or nothing that can link it to something, we really don't know. So every day for you, I'm assuming, is like a trial and error that can be written down in a book for those behind you who may have it, because there's nothing else to depend on.
No, this is what I've been trying to say for the longest. Anybody can get this. They don't know if they have it or not. You can wake up in a hot sweat. Your body just started aching. Or you try to walk to the bathroom and you have to stop because you can't breathe. And you're trying to figure out where's all this coming from. All you need is a chest
X-ray
or biopsy. That's it. The blood work don't even show it. You have to go digging down deep. The blood doesn't show that. That does not come up. X-ray or biopsy. The first thing you can snatch is a piece of lung. Because that's the first thing you said, I can't breathe. So to dig deep and grab that piece of lung and send it to the lab and it comes back, a name saying sarcoidosis, you want to know what is sarcoidosis. That's when you start digging and start doing your research and things like that. And I always had a bad cough. That coughing was nonstop with me. Nonstop.
Okay, well, one thing that I associate with sarcoidosis is, I don't know exactly what you call it, and I don't want to call it incorrectly, but I'm going to call it based on what I see. It's like it's a scarring that's usually on your face.
I think that's
one, outside of the cough, that scarring is like one indication of to get tested for that particular disease.
Yes,
so
what
about the medical care? What actual medical care do they give to you in reference to?
The medicine and things like that?
Like the medicine or the medical care. So when you go to the doctor, how often do you go to the doctor to get checked up outside of if you have an episode or a crisis? And two, what is the care when you go to the doctor? Is it like certain things that they do every single time? And if so, how often?
Okay, when I get to that part where I'm feeling myself getting sick again and it's really getting out of hand, I'll go to the emergency room. They know me. I'm well known. So once I'm there, the service, what's the problem today? What brought you in? My breathing. My nose bleeds. I'm in a lot of pain. So you know they're going to hit you.
That's usually Mount Sinai. Am I correct? Any of the Mount Sinai hospitals? Because they're the ones, they really focus on lung, respiratory, and sarcoidosis.
Yes.
That's one of the main hospitals, Mount Sinai Hospital. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, for me being sick so long, you know, I go there, downtown, and what they do is they do all the blood work to see how the numbers are. They'll let me know, oh, your sarcoidosis numbers are reaching up to a 12. It's over your capacity.
Is 12 high, low? Where's the level balance of where you're not in crisis and you can function to your best normally? What range should that be in?
Five.
Okay.
Five in the range. Yes. Because above five,
you're going into crisis.
Yeah, I'm struggling hard. Sometimes I don't want to get out of bed because. The pain that I'm enduring right now. That's why I have, when I go in there, they set me up for the rheumatoid because of the bones, the pain. And they set me up with the IV, with the steroids going in quicker than the pill. They don't give me the pill. They give me the injection through the IV of steroids. And I'm always chronic to pneumonia. So that's with the sarcoidosis as well. My immune system is very low. Don't stand by me, don't sneeze, don't cough. A few days later, I don't cough it. It's weird, but it's the truth. My immune system is very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even with me here, when I go home, I know I'm going to catch cold. It's right now, my nose is running. So, you know.
So how is it with you wearing a mask? Do you wear a mask all the time?
Because I can't wear it. I can't breathe. I can't keep that on all day.
Gotcha.
I have to pull it down. I have to pull it down, pull it back up. Pull it down, pull it back up. So what I used to say, well, I got to be in a bubble. Like, you know, certain things I just can't do. Certain things I know I can't do. And when I know I'm real, real good and can walk block and block, my sarcoidosis is in control.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you the steroids, it blows you up. Yes, they do. So I don't let you eat, drink. Yes, steroids, especially when you're on a big dose anyway. See, now I'm on 40. I'm on 40 a day.
Is there any foods? I'm sorry. Is there any foods that they suggest you eat or they suggest you don't eat? Or they just advise you to live life as you live? As you live life.
Okay, you know, that goes into territory. People, doctors going to tell you, if you just got a cold, eat right. So, you know.
Right.
It is what it is, you know. this is what the doctors do. Oh, you want to go to a nutritionist? I have a cold. Or maybe you need to take this type of herb or things like that. Who's not going to want to eat something that you would like to eat, even if you just pinch it a little bit? You still ate it. You know, I know I'm not supposed to eat a certain kind of food. I know I eat more junk than food. And they said that's bad. So, I don't know. I just went with the flow. Like, one thing I can say.
Now,
I know this psychedelics is, it's a terror. It's crazy. Plays a lot of games and tricks. Like, I don't know. I'm just here.
Okay.
We know when we come in. We don't know when we're going out. That's it. I'm just here.
That is true.
I don't want to waddle in it. Because, you know, I stay ready, so I have to get ready. And my thing is, people if you please get checked out for it. Because I know quite a few people say they think they have it, but they don't want to get diagnosed with it. They don't want to be told they have it. They want to let it take its course.
Well, a lot of people are scared.
Which is
a natural way to feel, especially, and that's not just with sarcoidosis. That's with anything. When the unknown is present, it brings like a big barrier. And so if you leave it in the unknown, it's like it don't exist, even though there's something there and you can turn a blind eye to it. And that's just with anything, not just with this disease, with any disease, or just living, period. If you don't know, it's like it doesn't exist, but yet something is still there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a pick and choose. The key thing is to get checked annually. If you get an annual checkup for any and everything, then that can rule out a lot of anything that can possibly go on. But, for instance, if you have someone in your family, be it someone like your sibling or someone very close or a parent or a grandparent, you know, it's kind of, you know, check on, because that's a direct line. And not saying that it can be, but because there's a direct line, just to be sure. Now, one of the things is it's a thin line between sarcoidosis and lupus. Very, very thin line. Very, very thin line. And I think, don't quote me on this, anyone, because I don't know. I'm learning just like everyone else. I think it's more so with the skin, the decoloration of the skin, that will cause that difference. And I'm sure there may be some other things, such as the, I'm going to pronounce it, granulomas. Right. I think that also is a little different that will cause between lupus and sarcoidosis.
Yes, I know a little about that
but,
as well. They shared that with me numerous times when I go into the hospital, that sarcoidosis and lupus are like related cousins, but sarcoid is more fatal because of the breathing situation. Lupus is where you can't go outside to the light. You have the thing in your face. It's called the they said it's called like a butterfly look. It's a thing that go across your nose. I can't remember the word, but you can pull it up. And besides, you know, that's what Grandma had, and that's what my sister Robin had. And it messed the joints too as well. It messed the joints up as well. But suffering the most part of it all, you can breathe with lupus. You can't breathe with sarcoidosis because it's not a lung situation.
Right.
It's not a lung situation.
Okay, well, hold on. We have a caller. We have a caller who wants to join us. Caller with the last four digits, 7393. I'm about to bring you on. 7393. You're on with Tamara and LSO. Say your name and where you calling from. How are you?
Hi. This is your family, Keisha.
Hi, baby.
Hi, where you calling from? King
Hi, Boo. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm on here. I'm listening to you, and it's just so emotional because we travel the same journey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know you've been diagnosed with sarcoidosis when you were 14, and I was diagnosed with lupus when I was 17. So we've been on this journey for over 30 plus years. And I've had nothing but up and down, you know, hills, mountains, you know. And but you're right about everything you said is correct. And sarcoidosis and lupus are sister diseases because the symptoms are some of the same. Now, what Luke is just saying about the granulomas, where you get that, lupus patients get lesions, what you call lesions.
Lesions, right.
So where your situation is more a lump, you know, like a lump, the lumps that you get, mine is more like a circular lesion.
Lesion, right.
And it hurts. I mean, you get them in your scalp. You get them in your hair, your arms, your back, it all over. And I went through that phase. But thank God I was able, as I got older, to control the skin part of it. And see, the thing with lupus is you have two types. You have discoid lupus and you have systemic lupus. So whereas the systemic, it affects your organs, whereas discoid, it affects your skin. Me, per se, I have a combination of both. I have a combination of both. So over the years, you know, my lungs and my kidney has been damaged by it. Like right now, my lung, in my right lung, I have interstitial lung disease, which is fibrosis, a lot of scar tissue on my right lung, where I only get like maybe anywhere between 40 to 60% of air. So there is a lot of scar tissue there. And my kidney right now, I'm on dialysis. So, I mean, I knew eventually my kidney was going to be affected because, like, I would say about, I've been on dialysis now about 2 years. So I want to say about 6 years ago, my doctor told me that my kidney function was deteriorating. And he said, when I get sick, when I get like pneumonia and cold, and when I go in the hospital, it seemed like my kidney function would decrease. You know, so back in 2019, I mean, it was decreasing fast. So when I got sick, my body was retaining a lot of water.
Wow,
I mean, my body blew up so bad. I was weighing like 300 and almost 340 pounds. And most of it was just water.
Water.
You know what I mean? So, and he had told me years ago that I should get the port put in. And I was like, I'm not getting that put in. I mean, if you're not using it, I don't want to get that. And I told him I didn't really want the port. So he said, well, maybe you can get the fistula put in. And then it was in 2020, I got the fistula put in July. And then by November, I was on dialysis.
See, I'm not doing no lung tests. I'm not doing no transport. I'm not doing nothing that. I just leave it to the Lord. I've been through the mills and back, and I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. Sometimes I don't even have to do anything, and my body just takes all this water. And that's bad on my lungs because I can't breathe as it is. Taking pills 2 or 3 times a day, trying to keep that fluid off of me in my heart.
Definitely you got to keep it from surrounding your heart. Falls up in your lungs first.
I know, I hear it now. I know
it rattles
up in there.
Yeah. I mean, I literally can hear it. When my lungs get like that, I can hear it.
Yeah, I hear it. And I shake it. I get up and I say, and he shake it till I go on you and let it out. I know me. I know myself. We've been fighting. And I know we have a lot of siblings that diagnosed with that in our family.
Right.
And
exactly.
Things like that. You know, and we got to do it, right? We go to the doctors, they're going to tell us this, they're going to tell us that. Sometimes I can be the best to tell myself, I'm not touching that one yet, I'm going to touch this one. That was a warm river.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Your doctor's never suggested chemo to you?
They suggested all these type of things that I wanted to get out of my head, because not saying doctors are always right and not saying they're always wrong. They is I'm not. It's just things I'm just going to play out that I've been playing since 14 to right now.
Mm-hmm.
My oxygen level, the lower it goes, is possibly to 83. So what your level was, that's real low.
Right.
The only time my oxygen level went down to a 40 is when I went on that ventilator with that COVID stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's the lowest my oxygen level ever went being diagnosed with sarcoidosis.
Mm.
But right now, I'm like an 80-something moving around. It goes down to like maybe 79, you know. But it comes right back up. It comes back up. Because
it's better than what it was.
I sit out. That's what I do, and then it's not moving around.
Right.
You know.
Because with me,
you just made a point. Go ahead, Keish.
Oh no, I was just gonna say with me with the cytoxin treatment, they treated my lupus like a cancer. So I had like 6 treatments of chemo, like once a month for 6 months, every 2 weeks. So what the cytoxin treatment did was, it actually put the lupus in remission. I mean, it put it in remission. And I was good for, like, I want to say at least 2 or 3 years. And then, I don't know, I got sick again and it became active. But now, as of right now, I have no positive activity of lupus right now. What I'm dealing with right now is the damage that the lupus did.
Mm.
You know? Because I took a test to see if it was active a few months ago, and it's not active at all. But the damage that it did to my lungs and my kidney, that's what I'm dealing with right now.
That's the residual.
Yeah, we're going to put a cross on that. We'll put a cross, keep the cross on the kidney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I got the warriors praying for me, because I'm going to, I have faith. I'm going to go through with the transplants, because I believe in my heart I got a good team of people, you know, and I have one of the best doctors at Mount Sinai. And I do my research. Their overturn of kidney and lung transplants are good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, you know, stepping out on faith, and I believe I'm gonna get my lung and kidney. I just don't know when, you know what I mean?
Oh,
but right now, they're
pressing
me.
But what's for you will always be for you. No one else can have it. So it's just when God sees fits for you to have it, then that's when it'll be.
Right, exactly.
So thank you, Keish. I greatly appreciate you coming on.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
put you back on hold.
All right.
What you say, Keish?
I just said, told Tamara, just keep the faith. God got her.
Oh, yeah. I walk with it. Yeah.
He sure
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
He sure
and
do.
And you do the same, Cos.
All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you more.
Okay.
Tamara, you have mentioned about COVID.
Yes.
If you don't mind, would you share that story? Because that was a traumatic story, I'm going to say, for the family.
Yes.
Because when I tell you, I think we all went up to the heavens and knocked on the door and was like, Lord, on the pearly gates, like, Lord, you got some of the family members in there already. They in there talking to you. Then you got us right here knocking at the gate, looking in. Like, listen, what's going on? Do you mind sharing that story?
I don't mind at all. This is my testimony, my second testimony. It was when it first came out was 2020, right? It was March 7th.
Mm-hmm.
I was partying, as I do. And I kept saying, what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling funny? But I still went through with the party. And the party was successful. Now that's the seventh, feeling funny. The eighth, feeling funny. The ninth, feeling funny. The tenth, got a call. Come on to the club. Come to the club, still feeling funny. Got to the club, said, wow. I'm not going home. I'm going to go to the ladies' school. I'm feeling cold. Cold. Still being hard-headed. Left the club, went home, told Nay. I'm cold, Nay, and I've been feeling like this since March 7th. Oh, I know it wasn't no psychedosis, because I know it. I already knew it. Like, that's not giving me the signs of psychedosis.
Right.
I get to the hospital March 14th. After all them days, a week went by being cold. Couldn't shake the cold with the heat and pad, nothing. Took the hot shower, everything, just cold. Came to my mind, I know I'm not walking dead because I'm freezing. Like, what is going on here with me? Get to the hospital. They ran a test. They came back and they said, you have to be quarantined. I'm like, what? You have COVID. I said, what? What's that? That's that disease that nobody knew nothing about. I got it when it first came out. She says to me, have you ever been ventilated? Never in my life. And I'm a sick person of psychedosis. And had that long from the age of 14. Never in a million years. I had no trick going down in my throat. And y'all locked me in for a piece of sleep. Never. Why are you asking that? Your oxygen level is being like, you know, up and down, and then and you're running all these testing, and like we see your chest, still with psychedosis. All this is coming up, God, all of it. All of this is coming up, but it's related to COVID. I didn't go for psychedosis. It flared up in the sense of me being sick with the COVID.
Right.
I'm crying. Nobody could come there. I was able to talk on my phone to Donna, Renee, Niecy, you know, just talking with people because they say what I have here, no one can come to the hospital. But yet they
right.
put me on a machine because my oxygen kept dropping and dropping and dropping. So I guess they wait and make the call to the family member to tell them. And I said, before y'all talk this stuff, right, now they're talking about putting me to sleep. I'm not asleep. But they say they have to do it because my oxygen level is dropping. So it's looking on me. Oh, God. If I flare up, it activates the disease more harder. For
right.
me to move. You know, I panic. Actually panic. They put this thing in my nose, and I screamed so loud. Donna heard me. She said, turn that down. Yo, my sister is panicking. Yeah, putting up something in her nose and making it so loud is scaring her. She never went through this trauma before, never. So it's scared. And not only that, we can't even touch her. We can't even talk to her. None of that. Nobody could come to the hospital. So I had to do this all by myself for 3 months. When I finally realized that I was no more talking to them when I was asleep, because the oxygen dropped down to like a 40 or something like that, kept going up and down. And Donna just took the story, and Renee had the story from there on, and Rashad. And they told me everything when I woke up, how everything went down. And all I could do was just cry. I don't know where I caught it from. I wasn't going around asking nobody in the club to get ass. I would know COVID. I didn't know what it was. And I went through that whole procedure by myself. Woke up crying, still crying. I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn to use this left side again. I thought they don't paralyze me. That's why I don't go to sleep. Don't put me to sleep. Because I need to know what's going on with you. You know, come to find out all that happened because I was on a standstill from what tweet with that thing on. And then they said that the doctors was calling to my sisters and telling them to pray overnight because he didn't think I was going to make it. It was up in tears for me. The liver would go down, the kidneys would come up, you know. And it, basically, I was just a fighter. I wasn't giving up. Whether it had me food,
so
I was not giving up.
Did you get your records from the doctors during that 3-month period of time so that you can see what transpired since you don't know and your family really don't know outside of what was told to the family?
Exactly.
But there's no concrete because no one can come and see you. So by any chance, did you ever ask for your records so that you can look through and see? Because that's 3 months, you don't know anything.
Let me tell you, you're right. And guess what? I had my records. What Renee did with them, I have no idea. Because I'm on the same page.
Well, I'm sure you can still get another set because the records stay on file for X amount of years. So you can so that you can look through and kind of pinpoint because you were in an induced coma, am I correct?
Yes.
And I don't know much about comas, but even in an induced coma, I'm sure your mind was wandering. And there's some form of slight thoughts or something that you may remember or in seeing your chart. It may trigger something where you can know what went on during that time.
Well, to be honest, not much of sure.
Or even do you want to know what went on?
I chose to put it behind me, but guess what? I still cry. Because I never experienced that. And I had 3 strokes while I was asleep. I told her, they called her and said, this is bad, 3 little mini strokes. But she came back fighting again. They were called Donna, they were calling it, found something was wrong. And it seemed like every time they called, they'd come back to the room, everything was all right. And that's what they called me. Feisty Miss Rivers, that's what they called me. I just wasn't giving up. Even though I came and had my records, because I was on the same page as you. I need to see this in black and white at what cost it. I don't know what they done with. I don't know where they at. We weren't looking. We had those papers. I don't know where those papers went, but they weren't supposed to be out of my sight. Maybe we overlooked them because we were looking so hard.
Right.
That's
well, maybe you're not supposed to know, and just know that your faith of a mustard seed sustained you, and this is where you are, and this is what's supposed to be. You know, even though I asked the question in reference to you getting the document so that you can see, sometimes the unknown is better for you because you don't know. That increase your faith, that increase your prayer, that increase you praying, that increase your going to the Lord, that increase your cry out to God. You know, because sometimes we get lackadaisical, and I'm going to say we get lackadaisical and think that, oh, not saying we take it for granted, but because it's happened that we know it's going to happen again. And you know, we usually be on a schedule. You wake up, first thing you do is pray, or the first thing you do, and then now you wake up, you start doing everything else. You grab your phone. You go on social media, or you grab your phone, you check your messages, or you turn the TV on. We have to get back to our roots and where we started from. And
okay.
I tell my niece this a lot of times. Sometimes God lays down in green pastures to get our attention. And sometimes he remove us from people and even remove us from ourselves so that he has our full undivided attention. Now, we don't know how he's going to go to get our attention.
Right.
But when it's needed, he's going to reel us back in before we hang ourselves.
Right.
Now, he allowed you to do all that partying and everything else that you did in the midst of a pandemic that no one knows anything about. He still allowed you to have your fun, and you did. You enjoyed yourself. You lived your best life in a pandemic.
Yes.
And then he said, I'm going to sit you down for a minute because I need to talk to you. I need your undivided attention because you done been partying. You done been here. You done did this. You done did everything. So now is my time.
All right. Okay.
So maybe, just maybe, you don't need the papers. Even though, you know, you kind of put it together, maybe you don't need the papers. Because I bet he has your attention now, right?
I guess you say, I'm going to stay ready. lay still for a little while. And you know what? And if Renee tuned in, she can tell you. She would say, you know what? Tamara did say, I'm stop looking for these papers. They're not here. And I don't know where they went. I don't recall throwing them out. Maybe God moved them. I don't know. Because came home. They came home with me. And I told them, I ain't looking for these papers no more. I'm up, I'm alive, and I'm talking. I'm not doing that. God got a way of doing all things in life.
Yes,
okay?
Absolutely.
And that was one of them. He didn't want me to receive those papers. No. Because who's to say it was COVID? It could have been psychedosis. But they just used that word.
Right. Right.
So, you know, and it's been over 3 years. So, and I have not been hospitalized. You hear me?
Since then.
God, it's so awesome.
But I bet you've been listening, too.
Yeah. I'm so grateful to still be here. I'm so grateful to still be able to see my family, talk. And I'm just so loving so much of the Lord. And Happy told me.
Right.
She told me, one day, Rose's children, someone's going to stand up on that panel. She always said that. Mommy always said that. One of my kids. And I look and I turn around. I always look at Donna, you know. And I really believe it's my calling. It's my calling.
Mm.
It really is. You know?
Well, you know, because what's for you, again, like I said earlier, what's for you will always be for you. So, and there's nothing that we can actually do because this is a part of our journey that we have to travel.
Travel, yes.
And so you just have to travel with God's grace and mercy and, you know, hope that, you know, the future of it, the end result, will be a positive one. So other than what we had listed before as far as ways to prevent a crisis, what are some of the other things that you are doing, or what are some things that you began doing now that you wasn't doing before because you're living your life more now to the fullest?
Okay. When I went back into that dark place, I shut down because I felt rejected. Again, once again, I felt but the sickness made me feel like, shut me down. I was depressed because I felt like the things that I used to can do, I couldn't do as much anymore. Like drinking. I don't even really like to drink. I've been going 3 years without that. You know what gets me the most? Cause the breathing. I can't keep up with it.
Right.
Keep up, you know. I mean,
are there breathing exercises that you can do?
Well, I can go to my classes. They I get that through the hospital free. My gym, you know, to do they had that do my Medicaid. I could do that, but
okay.
What it is, Yes, the skinniest person I know that has sarcoidosis is she's on oxygen way worse than me. So it's not no fat. I'm not rolling with no fat. I'm not doing that. Because there's skinnier person out there that's suffering from the same disease. It's the point of the lung situation, once again. Oh, you lose that fat.
Right.
Well, you do that. No, if you just do what you do, and then you do what I do, then we could both,
right,
you know, turn on the same page. It's not only about somebody's fat. Come on. That's the first thing. Oh, that fat around her heart. No, it's not fat, because y'all don't even know what's going on, you know. And then I had to learn how to breathe. That was something I left out. I couldn't breathe the way I was normally supposed to breathe. How do you breathe?
Mm-hmm.
You breathe in through your nose, and you let out through your mouth.
Do your nose breathe out through your mouth?
Right. Me, I was the opposite. I'm letting more oxygen out than I'm let in to grab her to myself to get on the level of saying the air went through me right, so I feel good breathing. I'm struggling, making myself more short of breath. That was my problem. And the hospital used to tell me that when I would go, it's really you got to learn how to breathe. Your lungs are like a sponge. You have to. You're doing it the opposite way. Thinking about me breathing out, And I learned that. I'm learning it now. You're never too old to stop learning it anyway. So, you know, that was me. Even mommy told me that before she got sick. My brain, you're not breathing right.
Wow.
Now,
what about plants? Do you think plants would help with your breathing? Because we give off carbon monoxide, and the plants like that. And the plants give off carbon dioxide, and we like that. So do you think plants would help with your breathing?
It's a possibility,
because
in the group,
you never tried it, or...
No, they talked about that. So you pretty much know, I pretty much know where you're going. They told me that there are these name of different plants that can keep my lungs on the right track with breathing, like fresh air. And they asked me that I want to get involved with the plants. And I never talk more on it. But you know what? I may reconsider the plant than anybody else doing something while I'm asleep. You know,
right.
I take a chance of anything, you know. You know what I'm saying? It was something else. Oh, there was something else they did to me. I had like 177 people. I was called to come into the hospital. They did a research, and these were people that were trying to find out about sarcoidosis in students. And it was like 144, I got tired of the people coming in the room just to look at me and my skin. Yes, I said, I can't do it no more. This is like being a guinea pig. They had a big brunch for me. They gave me a big certificate. You know, use me as a guinea pig, like I said, once again.
Right.
And I said, I can't do beer no once every day. I'm tired. I was at the place from 6 that morning. Oh, my Lord. Oh, when I tell you all, once again, the plants and all that stuff was around. So I guess that was part of the for the breathing situation.
Right.
They tell me to keep the vaporizer going with the mist, you know, to keep, you know, the room. And you said it once again, that cigarette stuff, that can't be around me. And people think, they think I'm being mean and funny, but, and I just look.
It's the truth.
I have to stay away, because obviously, you know, hey, I can't take the smoke. And you love someone, but then you feel like you don't have to take that smoke with the love, right? I don't know. Smoke does bother me real bad. The charcoal from the grill, I just can't be around it. It does a lot to me. I'm not even going to front. When I get around people and I go upstairs, girl, I'll be like, oh. You know, let me wait
right,
for
right here.
Too much, too much. And they talked about that. And they kept looking at my skin and, oh, you can't even get a skin dress because it would come right back. I looked into that, too. I wanted to get that done. But you said no. And when I got diagnosed with it, I had a big knot on my nose. And they cut that right off and sent me to the lab. And that came back sarcoidosis. So, you know, the press, just by you bringing that back up, just came back to me. When I was called,
right.
They had so many plans. They had so many plans.
Well,
I've been
told of journaling that can help with, like, have you ever thought of journaling that can help with, like, you know, for you to decompress, it's stress-free, and it can also center you and help you with your breathing, help you with your calm.
Yes.
Just journal.
Yes.
It doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah,
just write whatever comes to mind.
Yes.
And you know that can also center you to keep you in a calm, safe space, and it'll channel that energy and remove everything, remove the toxins and everything, and that can sort of kind of help. I'm thinking. I don't know. I'm just, you know. Speculating,
saying
things that I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because sitting in the hospital, they send me to the room where the sarcoidosis patients are at, especially when I know I'm on a fixed day, more than 2 weeks in there. They don't send me food in there. Take this paper, Ms. Rivers, and write out what you feel today. What happened since you've been here? I heard you fussing today. Who made you mad? Talk about it. That's it. I've been through all of this. Look, I've been through so much. You know, as we talk, more things is coming back. This is how long this journey has been for me. You know, and when I see someone sick, it does a lot to me. Like, oh, wow. Like, oh, when I hear someone cough, and, oh, I can't breathe. I can't put the cigarette down. Just put the cigarette down. Let's talk. I love to talk about things like this. I could talk every day to get somebody's attention.
Right.
Okay, let me go get myself checked out. Because, you know, guys don't like to go to the office.
Of course
like
not.
Oh, no. You know, so
of
if
course
I can
not.
Reach out and touch someone, okay, take notes, baby.
And, you know, and it's not uncommon for men to get it as well. But it's more common in women, in African-American women and Canadian women. It's more common, and I don't know what's common between the two sets of women that can link them for it to be more common in them than any other, but it's just something that appears.
Right.
And like, voila, here it is. Now this is how you deal.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, sarcoidosis has been out for a lot of time now. And like I said, I have not ran into no one that has been suffering from a young age like me with this disease. And they said it. Right there in Elmhurst Hospital. This was the first case from a young girl to be diagnosed with this disease. I haven't heard on no more, but there's people up in age. And they'll call me, they're asking me, well, Goosey, you know, as far as me, how you feel today? You know, I'm feeling okay. How you feel today? Well, last night I woke up in a bad sweat. And when I stepped up, I almost fell because my ankles were so you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. It's a lot, and I just want people to hear me and take it in consideration and don't walk with it, run with it.
Right.
So you know what happens.
So from your experience, what would be some facts that you can give people based on your experience? Because the facts that you may give out may be something that someone may have experienced and ignored.
Hey, right. And this is why I'm so honored to be on this talk show tonight, and as well as opening my door for meetings. I thought about so many different things to reach out and touch someone. You know, let me help you so you can help them. We can conquer all in this if we just come together as a group. And I took heed to my support group, but we don't have it anymore. And I did one time wanted to, you know, get into the center, get the addresses, and have sacerdotes meet you. Pull them in. Pull them in because I'm well-known. Pull them in. Everybody know I've been sick with this disease. Like you said, some people don't want to know. They can hear you and don't want
well,
to ask each other.
Well, you can't help everyone, but
no,
if
but
this is something that is dear to you, then when next time you go to the doctor, or you can call your doctor to see if you can start back the support group. Just because your leading doctor passed does not mean that it has to stop right there. I'm sure that there's people somewhere who's willing to take the ropes and run with it. But all it takes is for someone like you to step up. So you can call your doctor and ask, how can we start a support group? And you never know the turnout where more information can be given to the public, or better yet, more information given to those who suffer from the disease.
Right. And, you know, I can go
because
down now.
We don't know, and only ones who do know are the ones who have it, and the doctors who are treating them.
Right.
Other than that, that's it. That's all that's known.
Right.
So you have the upper hand in something like this where your story being shared tonight, you can also share it if a group starts. Now, a group may,
right.
It may come out in full throttle. A bunch of people may come out for the knowledge of it, or maybe a couple people come out in the beginning. And then, you know, they may bring their families so everyone can get some form of knowledge in reference to it. And I'm sure in every patient, there's something different. So these are things that can be logged, you know, as far as, you know, a person between 30 to 40. These are some things that they've experienced. A person 40 through 50 experienced something different. And it can begin to build until there's more information that can be found, and then it can give a basis. Because I'm sure the doctor who passed, I'm sure his work is still somewhere.
The stuff that I heard that happened down there on medicine, that if that was the case, we had not a big Nellon address of people, but we did have a nicer-sized group that was starting to come
right.
in. People was bringing people in. So with all this said, Dr. Kirsten and the secretary, when he passed, why did the Nellon addresses stop coming? That led me to think that down there, they had no more room for them. It was over, shut down, because if it wasn't, we would have been getting our meeting envelopes from month to month, like we was getting them on the regular. And
right.
every
but
month,
nothing is really over until it's over.
Exactly.
It may be on pause because of the situation, but it's never really over.
Right, and this is why
but
I
if you feel so deeply about it, you can step out and do what needs to be done.
When I got a wake up happy psychedosis awareness Tuesday and my color was purple, which then I forgot, that's how long it's been. I'm human. It was for Monica and I was stoned. I said, wow, send it to me. So I was joyful and that uplifted me. And I said, Monica, I didn't know you followed it. She said, yeah, you remember? I used to go to your meetings. And I was like, yes. She said, get back into it. There are a place. She found out and just told me the other day, they have psychedosis walk-a-thons. Like, my Monica, where did you get all this from? So on her way back home from her vacation, she should be heading home. She said, tomorrow, we're going to do some homework. And if you want to rock, you want me to rock with you, she'll rock with me and get this thing growing. So I guess she knows somewhere here in New York. Because I didn't know anybody.
Right.
You know, I was rolling with Dr. Kirsten and the secretary lady. She passed right after he did. So once I didn't see no more melons, as I just coming through, I said, okay, they don't have to pay no more spot area rent for that place. So everybody just gave up. So I'll see what Monica reached out with me with. But I'm going to look into the plan.
Okay. I'm interested in knowing more. And I'm also interested in helping to get the word out and, you know, how it can be beneficial to others. Now, are you on medications for the rest of your life in reference to this disease, or you just take it as needed in form of a crisis?
What I do is do prednisone and Simicol steroid for the lungs and water pills to keep the fluid off the lungs and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Anything higher, that means my numbers got higher. Anything much higher, I'm being admitted. I'll be admitted if it's just what it is. They're going to admit me just to follow me for a week to get me back on track. Insulin, you know, I'm diabetic.
Now, how often do you communicate with your doctors? Do you weekly, like, do you do a weekly check-in, say, oh, you know, I'm doing good, or this happened, or that happened, or monthly? Do you go into the office? Do you call into the office? How often are you in communication with your doctors?
Okay. Honestly, I see my primary doctor every 3 months. Blood work, you know, other paperwork. My pulmonary doctor, I just talked to her because she called me up to make sure my refills were, I got my refills before I went on my vacation. Who else is it? Oh, my rheumatoid doctor. You always check to make sure the bones, you know, how am I doing with the bones, the pain, you know. And if I need an appointment, we'll set it up. Or if I get sick, God forbid, they'll be notified soon as I hit the hospital because it goes to the computer, that means really there's been a minute. And then they'll start coming down to the room. But regularly don't often go, but I do reach out.
Okay.
I do reach out. And if I'm doing good,
you know, now, do you have any side effects?
From medicine?
I'm sorry. Yes. Do you have any side effects from any of your medicines?
No. Nah. Just I'm used to steroids. I'm used to those. No. Because all medicine does have bad side effects.
Right.
Medication that don't give you no side effects.
That is true. Because it fix one thing and mess up something else. So that's just like standard over-the-counter medicines. So, you know, I truly understand that.
And you know, not for nothing. I want to get this point across. Me being here today, not for nothing. I've been so sick so long, right? And I was in the hospital visits, you know, my doc frequently. I got to the point where I think I told you this before that I'm so tired of going to appointments. I'm so tired of going to appointments. And at the time, it'd be the same, stable, I'm stable, you know. It doesn't hurt to get blood work drawn to, you know, monitor you because they can see what's going on. Well, not for everything. But I just learned how to really spend now, back to myself. And my doctor will tell you, I do a good job at it. They'll tell you. Ms. Rivers does a good job. But when I call her, she's right on task. But anyway, I should do this and that. If I can't control it, I know how to get to the cab or the ambulance and go to the emergency room. I'm pig-headed when it comes to that because I know it's not going to say what's the outcome going to be. I'm on to home. If it gets worse, I got to go. That's me, you know. I being a, oh, God. Be so sick and go to a clinic like that. Oh, boy. I said, am I ever going to get a break when I want to see my doctor? When can I get a break? And then, before you know it, I just be like, I feel better today.
Right.
My biggest point, staying stable, not stressed, because it kicks in my disease. That's all.
So I was going to ask, so how do you manage on a daily basis to help prevent?
Prevent what?
No, how do you deal on a normal basis, you know, to help prevent like a crisis?
Oh, to be honest on that. That note. Oh, you know, I've always been a raver. So I'm not going to say I'm I'm not the corporate to things. When something doesn't go right, and I know it's not good for me to take on add-on, I know what it's going to do to me, make me more sick. Either I'm going to fight it out, or I'm just going to roll into the room and go back into my dog. I'm good at that. I'll block you out.
Okay, well, going to the dark place is not good because an idle mind is a devil's playground.
I know. When I say dark place, I go in my room, I go cut the light out, watch TV, I put my gospel on. That's always on because I don't feel like getting stressed and getting sick. So I say, well, okay, I'm going to let this devil take me one a day. I'm just going to just go on my roll. I'm not getting sick today over nothing stupid. That's just how I go. I have to be the bigger person. Because if I keep going on, I'll go on and on and on and on to the next day. But that's not doing nothing but hurting me. Because I'm going to be sick. And whining and crying and it's sore and my head hurt, my nose starting to bleed. And for what? Something real petty. That's how I get by.
Well, some of the support that I in researching, some of the support they have, like living with lung disease support community. So a lot of the support is like the lung hotline, the lung helpline, which is 1-800-LUNG-USA. Then they also have a foundation for sarcoidosis research.
Yeah.
So, and the Better Brothers Club, those are also supporting groups that that you can turn to in reference to getting help or support. I don't know what type of support they provide, but those are some of the things that, you know, I came up with in research that, you know, will help you in reference to, excuse me, in reference to support.
Right.
But mainly it would be anything pertaining to lungs. That's
right.
Where you're going to find majority of your support, because it is basically a respiratory issue. So
right.
Those who are out there who are looking for something or some form of reprieve, anything pertaining to lungs, you will more than likely be able to find some form of support to help.
Right, right. And honestly, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I have support. I don't have it like I used to. And I'm reaching out to my family about it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not. My support is me. And that's what I get by day by day. I don't have that. This is like so long now to where it's like, it's not like, I'm not going to say it's outside of mine because my family knows. I know I'm sick with this.
Right.
I go in the hospital, look, I don't get visits like I used to. I dug it out by myself. Okay? It's a lot. I can go on and on, but we don't have that much time. And I don't want to get deep in my feelings about it because, look, you know me. I'm going to ride it out.
Right.
I don't have that support like I used to. Okay. I don't want
now,
to get this.
In defense of people, in defense of people, you never know what's going on in someone else's world. And
true.
I remind myself of that all the time when I get in my feelings in reference to anything.
Right.
I remind myself, wait a minute, what if something is going on in their world that I'm not privy to.
Right.
I'm not privy to that information because they didn't share it with me. And yet I'm getting mad and upset with them over something. But meanwhile, I don't know. Their world could be turned upside down and tossed upside down. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the end result is every man for himself and God for us all.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to stand alone. And
yes.
sometimes you have people standing silently with you as well. But the key thing is you have to stand up for yourself, and you have to be your first advocate to the best of your ability. And then after
right.
that, then you have, you know, someone else being your advocate and helping. But the key thing is you must take care of you to your best.
Right.
While living with the disease.
Right.
And
exactly.
yes,
right.
it would be great if you have someone to lean on, because that's wonderful. No one wants to do anything alone, especially
alone.
If it's a disease and you're suffering. But yet know that if you have to, you can and you will. And you know what it is that you need to do, and you know what it is that won't work for you, so you just have to be mindful.
Right.
And whenever you get the opportunity to share information or give information, then you make people aware of what's going on, however it may
right.
be, even if it's something as, you know, maybe if you journal during social media. Today, living with sarcoidosis, today was a good day. And
right.
you never know whose interest you may pique when you start
right.
doing that. Because someone may come in your inbox, oh, my friend has sarcoidosis, or I have it, and I didn't know there's other people who have it. And that can just, you can start a epidemic of something. Just something as simple today. Today was a good day. Yes, I have sarcoidosis, my breathing today was X, Y, and Z, or I felt this way. Is there anybody out there who feel this or who have this disease or it's troubling them or you know someone who have it? How do you deal? What do you do? What do you suggest?
Right.
And you never know what can become of it. And that's a way for you to also learn more about the disease. Because I'm sure there's like a foundation that everyone who has it goes through, but I'm sure it, like anything else, is going to vary from person to person to person, you know, how it affects them.
Right.
So, and then I learned that there's five stages. There's five stages of pulmonary sarcoidosis, and
right.
The stages start from stage zero to stage four.
Four stages, exactly.
I don't know. Stage zero is X-rays. It don't show any pulmonary sarcoidosis. Then stage one is granulomas in the lymph nodes only. Then stage two is granulomas in the lymph nodes and the lungs. And then stage three is granulomas in the lungs only. And then stage four, the X-rays show the pulmonary fibrosis or the permanent scarring of the lungs. So it goes from not showing to just in the lymph nodes, then in the lymph nodes and the lungs, then just the lungs, and then it shows the scarring, which kind of give definitive, this is what it is, and it's full-blown, I would say. I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but it'll show that now this is what you have, this is how you deal, and, you know, you go from here. Wow, this is really, 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 really interesting. Is there anything else you would like to share in reference to?
Not at this time. I'm just going to take in the notes that were just issued to me and do what I have to do to take a lot off. A lot of things that I don't have to carry on to keep my sanity. I'm just going to reach out and get the people going and see what I can do for myself before I can
right.
do for anybody else. And I've been with this shovel for a long time, and I'm still picking up new things. But I know what I know. I know what I'm feeling. And I know I'm not the only one that's going through tribulation as well. So with all that said, you know, it was an honor to be here tonight and to talk to you about what's going on. And I see you taking notes and you're very interested in it because it's a lot. Oh, yeah.
I do my due diligence. I mean, you know, the show takes on a variety of different, you know, tactics. And, you know, a lot of people tend to box me in to what it is that I do instead of asking me what it is I do or joining in with what it is that I do. I'm not one dimension. I'm like mommy would say, I'm like poison ivy. I can break out, you know, but excuse me.
I
try to touch on key things as well. And especially like when it's Awareness Month, I try to reach out to people. I've done it before. But I need to do a little more often, like when it's Awareness Month, try to get someone. Sometimes it's easy to find someone who's willing to share their story. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are not ready to share their story, so right. which is fine, you know. And
yeah.
it's good to share the story when it's during the awareness month. But a story can be shared at any time, so that you know, shed some light on it. And I have the platform to do it, so you know,
yeah.
I don't mind.
It was a pleasure. I really needed that because I haven't been out talking in a very long time about me anyway. And, you know, there's a lot to think about. You know, it's a lot that I'm going to think about tonight, and I know that. And if I can get a party ready, I can get a group ready.
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, so.
Exactly.
Ain't no shame in my day. Look, you know how I run a lot. So at the end of the day, I know what I have to do. For me.
Right. Just implementing it and doing it.
And that, you know. Oh. Tell you, boy.
Well. Well, now I'm going to give you a little bit of reprieve because you've been talking for almost 2 hours. So
yes.
I'm going to, as I begin to close out, I'm going to give you a little bit of breathing moment where you know, get some inhale, exhale, get some air into the lungs. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in and hearing the exclusive story of sarcoidosis, and you heard this straight from the horse's mouth, so to say. Now, this is her experience. Now, not saying that this experience may not happen to someone else, but it's likely, it's a possibility that it would and could. So y'all know how we do it when we begin to close out. We send out happy birthdays and congratulations. So we want to say happy birthday to Althea, Artemis, Beck Beck, Stacey Reed, Miles, Athene, Rochelle, Kuda, and Darius. Happy birthday to each and every one of you. I hope you enjoy your day, enjoy your month. You know, keep doing what it is that you're doing. Don't stop. Get it. Get it. We also want to send condolences to those who have lost loved ones. I read, I think it was yesterday, where this couple, they went for their prom. It was an accident, and both of them passed. You know, condolences to that family. Condolences to the senseless killings that we have going on. All those that I'm seeing on the news where these young kids and these older people, they have gone missing. I pray that they make it home safely. Don't forget to keep our essential workers and our frontliners and our military prayed up, because they need each and every one of the prayers going up to the heavens in reference, because this world is doing what it want to do. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and ring the bell to LSOMASK Squiggly D on YouTube, where there's a bunch of information up there and soon to be some more information coming up. As of February, we started the WAP panel. And the WAP panel is the Women All panel, where it's a panel comprised of all women, commercial free, and we just sit and talk on whatever topic it is. And it's similar to the AMP panel, which is the all men panel, and the men do the same thing. And that's what we do once a month. Don't forget to tell us when your birthday is so you can get an LSO treat shout out on your special day, or not necessarily just a birthday. If you're celebrating something, a congratulatory, hit me up on Monday nights. You too can get a shout out. For all those, thank you for participating in the group. The group take on a life of its own. You know, random questions, funny questions, serious questions. Thank you to each and every one of you who participate in the group. We greatly appreciate it. Tamara, is there anything else you want to share with everyone, or you're good? Or
I'm good, and I want to thank each and every one that tuned in today to hear what I'm going through. what I'm still going through, but God got me. Thanks for listening.
Amen, amen, amen.
I love you guys. Stay tuned for the next Zoom.
Love you more. Don't go nowhere. We're not finished. I have 10 more minutes to talk to close out the show. Remember,
okay.
We will be coming to you each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in to lawlessradio.com or via phone at 646-478-5209. And don't forget to tell a friend and invite them to listen in as well. We have some spectacular shows coming up. And if you have a show idea, feel free to reach out to me and let's see how we can make it happen. But just be sure, because you're telling me about the show, you may have to show up to be a part of the show. So keep that in mind. If you're looking for a platform to promote your brand, call or message LSO at 718-666-1336 to find out how you can be a sponsor of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. Lawless Radio started on the premise of TL, the chairman, with his vision and his promise to support your local come-up. So if you want your music played on Lawless Radio, go to the website and submit your music. Tonight, we didn't play any music because we had a very special topic and we had a special guest on, and we wanted her to share her story and we wanted it to get out there. Let's show our support for one another. Order LSO merchandise at Treats and the letter N things, LSO.com. That's TREATS, the letter N, THINGS, LSO.com. And you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSO Treats. You can order your merchandise. In order to get an autographed copy of any of my merchandise, be it the books, calendar, cards, whatever, you have to come directly to my website. But if you would like to order Erotic Playground or Taste and Treats, you can find either of those books, hard copy and ebook, on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and Lulu.com. And LSO's newest book, which is inspirational, it's called Looking Into the Mirror, Introducing Self Meet Me. That book right there is going to take you on your self journey. So you really need to have that in your collection. In closing for this evening, it was a pleasure spending my Monday evening vibing with each and every one of you in conversation. We want to say thank you to Keish Keish for coming on and sharing her experience in reference to lupus, which gave us a little bit more insight, as lupus and sarcoidosis is very closely related. She helped give the differentiation so that you can tell, you know, slightly tell them apart. Thank you for coming on and doing that. Greatly appreciate it. As the Lawless Radio LSO Treats Show promises to bring more transparency, awareness, taboo, educational, and more conversations, we hope you continue this journey with us, and we are enlightening and strengthening you in each and every show while getting into each other's business. That's right. We get in your business the same way you get in ours, and we have a good time.
Yes, we hope
you enjoyed tonight's show, and we left you with something to think about on the topic, sarcoidosis, God kept me. And not only has he kept me, he continues to keep me. And when I say me, it's not just in reference to me. That means you, all those within listening ears of this show. God is keeping you. I don't know who you believe in, but I know who I believe in. I'm not shunning you for whatever your belief is, so please extend that same courtesy to me. I believe in God. And you never know what's going on in someone's world, so be mindful and stop being judgmental, because you don't know. And that's why it pays to be kind to everyone. A smile don't hurt you. A smile don't cost you nothing. All it costs is you to just straighten your face and turn it right up, and you never know. That same smile can mean the world to someone. You never know. People don't get smiles anymore. People don't get I love yous anymore. People don't get hugs anymore. And that is something that is needed. And strength of having faith of a mustard seed and the power in prayer, man, listen. As April is Sarcoidosis Awareness Month and is also National Poetry Month, we're going to do some things later on down for the poetry. So as we were dealing in sarcoidosis, let's stand in support of those who suffer from the disease. There is no cure, but it's managed through care and prayer. Pieces of advice from me to you. You are the author of your book of life. You create what's best for you. Therefore, stop letting people write a script in your book. Be your best version of yourself every day. We each get 24 hours in a day, no more, no less. What you do with it is on you. You can change the narrative at any time on your journey and without permission. Stand firm in your decision. Stop allowing people into your life and disrupting your life based on what they believe is right for you. Meanwhile, it's you living your life. Stand firm in who and what you believe in. And you are the creator of your journey. At any time, you can change the direction. And it's no fault of anyone. If you want to go left, then left you go. You want to go right, then right you go. Stop letting people make these decisions for you. Make your own decision. Each day is a gift to you, so do not take it for granted. Live happily in every moment of your life. Live in your peace, which is P-E-A-C-E, and not a piece, P-I-E-C-E, of anything, because you are worthy and you are enough. Know that you matter. Elevate yourself. You are great. You are strong. You are needed. You are loved. Some people may have gone this whole 2023 and have yet to hear, I love you. If you haven't heard it this year, this week, even today, I'm extending it to you. LSO loves you. If we can hate each other for no reason, I believe we can love each other for that same no reason. I don't need to know you to love you and know the difference. I didn't say in love and all this other. No, love in the sense of love. That's it. And so we'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight, for hanging with us for 2 hours of conversation. Now, we had this young lady on with sarcoidosis, and she talked for an hour and 45 minutes. If y'all don't extend some prayers for her, to her, and some oxygen, I'm going to come through the phone. I'm going to come through the phone lines. You are invited to continue on this radio journey, enjoying the ride each and every Monday night. And don't forget to pay it forward. Your candle will not dull by lighting someone else's candle from the stem. We can all shine brightly together and in no competition. If God's will, we'll talk to you next week. Stay prayed up, be careful, and stay safe. My hashtag is my LSO journey. Hashtag love yourself organically. Hashtag I deserve. Hashtag I am. Stay ready. What is your hashtag?
Hashtag is. Everybody, I'm so tired right now. I'm thinking.
Okay, well, we're going to give her hashtag. We're going to put her hashtag is stay ready. Hashtag be ready. Hashtag I am ready. There you go. That is going to be her hashtag. So from now on, when you see a post from her, those are going to be her hashtags. Yours in sweetness, LSO. Have a good night, everyone, and I thank y'all for tuning in. Don't forget next week, same time, same place, different topic. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.